inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm Trevor Sycamo. With me is Benjamin Solak. We are here to recap for you kind of a crazy weekend in the NFL, but not just week four. Ben and I have plenty to talk about, not only around the team or around the league, but also the teams we cover very closely. But we're going to talk about a lot of our surprise teams, actually. Teams that going into the year, we thought week four performances included. Teams that we weren't sure if they were going to be too good that are doing better than expectations. Teams that we thought were going to be great that aren't doing so well. Ben, there's probably a handful that you can think of right off the top of your head, right?
Yeah, no, I have some you know, preseason takes to jump up and down on and some preseason takes to eat some crow on. And so it's okay. Good that we're kind of doing a quarterly review,
indeed,
if you will,
indeed,
after 4 weeks. But first, there's news. There's big news. Number one, I did a mock draft. It was my turn to do the Monday mock. I had the very peculiar experience of drafting the Buccaneers player and then one pick later drafting the Eagles player. I did not like that. I would like for that gap to widen. Though if the Bucs keep putting out performances like they did this past week, I guess I won't.
Hello.
So my first round mock is up on the site. And actually, what I put in my first round mock was a link to the Draft Network store, which is something that you guys have been asking for quite some time. We've had it in the works for quite some time. We actually are opening up with a pre-sale. And so we're excited to announce the launch of the new TDN store, which right now has the one pre-sale item. They'll continue to add new products as we move forward. So the exclusive Draft Day Everyday Dry Fit shirt for all the draft nerds, everybody who wants to get more of our gear. If you use the code TDN20, there's $5 off of the price for the first week pre-sale. So you visit the draftnetwork.store. That's the draftnetwork.store today. Limited time offer for this week. The code TDN20 at the draftnetwork.store for your official Draft Day Everyday Dry Fit shirt. The store is open. The mock is up. New big boards are going out the 1st of October. We are transitioning, brother. Welcome to draft season.
I thought it was always draft season.
Yes, but welcome to draft season. And then the next time I feel like we're getting closer, I'll say welcome to draft season again. And then okay, when we get to April 25th, I'll be like, hey, welcome to draft season.
Okay. All right. The Bills are making the playoffs. Change my mind.
I'm not going to, because I told you this is one of mine. This is one of, and here's the thing. That game against the Patriots was bad. Josh Allen was bad. Mm-hmm. And then Matt Barkley came in for an injured Josh Allen. And Trevor, let me tell you something. Matt Barkley was bad. It was a lot of interceptions on that field from the Bills quarterback. And for as long as that is the case, Josh Allen or otherwise, the Bills are going to be a very limited team. They do not yet have the offensive line where they can really run the ball with impunity. They do not have a
quarterback.
Impunity. And they clearly don't have a quarterback on whom they can rely for consistent play, especially against defenses like the Patriots, which has been a tremendous defense so far this season. But that being said, the Bills defense held the Patriots to 16 points. And they did it on the back of some short fields because of turnovers. They were really nice in the red zone. They had an interception in the red zone as well, pressuring Brady constantly. Brady had one of his worst games in recent years. Now, the Patriots are no longer the, you know, class of offense in the league, just simply because, you know, we have teams like the Chiefs, and we have teams like Dallas, and we have teams like New Orleans, and we have teams like Baltimore, but the Patriots are still one of the top offenses. Tom Brady's still one of the top quarterbacks.
Well, they're efficient. Right? I mean, like, they're not going to be a team that's going to put up a crap ton of yards every single week, but although they kind of do, but they come up when they need to is always the thing with the Patriots.
It's not like stopping the Patriots' offense is easy. It's not. They're one of the better offenses in the league. This Bills defense is what's exciting to me. This Bills defense is three levels deep, getting impact play from young players. I wish they had more coming off the edge, but besides that, I mean, this secondary does not get talked about among the best in the league when it should be. Tre'Davious White, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Daron Johnson, Levi Wallace. It's a great group, and I think that the Bills continue to present a tough out every week in the AFC, especially because if they get the good Josh Allen game, they can run with anybody. It's just a question of how many of those you're going to get and if you can choose when you get them.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with this Bills team. I thought it was kind of like teetering the line on whether or not they were going to make a playoffs throughout the offseason. Just wondering what a team to get. I knew they were going to be competitive. I knew that the Bills were going to show up just because that's a Sean McDermott team, but man, another 3-1, only loss to the Patriots. I mean, they're playing in a pretty easy AFC, not only division, but conference. And so, yeah, I think the Bills are making the playoffs. They're one of the teams that you were right on. You were certainly right on there.
Hello.
A team that, were we wrong about the Chargers, Ben? Is it? Can we say that? Are we saying that now? Because I picked the Chargers that beat me. I got to say that. I guess I've been pretty disappointed with the San Diego. Oh, my God. I just said San Diego Chargers. I'm going to start that over.
Drink! Trevor, how many? If we did a dollar jar.
Yes.
For San Diego instead of Los Angeles, how much money do you think we'd raise over the course of a year during the podcast?
Enough to do a lot of good charity work.
Absolutely. I vote we start, we'll talk about this, but we got to start a San Diego charity jar and then we'll donate to a San Diego charity at the end of the year.
The Chargers are a disappointing team for me because, I mean, even though they're sitting here at 2-2, it's not like the season's over. They're sitting at 500. I thought they'd look a lot better than they would. That offensive line is not what. Even I have my reservations about the offensive line, but it's proven to be a problem for them. And I think it's going to be something that holds them back. And the Chargers seem like a team that's just going to, they're going to stay at pace no matter what their opponent is. If their opponent's good, they'll elevate themselves and they might make it competitive. If their opponent's bad, they'll take their game down and they'll make it competitive with the teams that they should beat. Good teams that end up winning the AFC, teams that compete for Super Bowls, they're beating the teams that they should beat. I don't think the Chargers are convincing me that they're going to be that AFC championship team like I thought they were going to be.
I'm not out on the Chargers.
They not lost either. Like I said, they're 500,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, right. They lost to a Lions team that ended up kind of good. More on that later. And they, you know, they lost to a good Texans team. A Texans team that's also up and down. Again, more on that later. And then beat the Dolphins and beat a good Colts team. AFC-wise, I mean, they should sweep the Broncos and maybe split with the Raiders, but they really should sweep the Raiders. I mean, you're looking at four more AFC wins there, and then they get to play the rest of the AFC South. So they get the Titans and the Jaguars. So in the conference, like, I think they're still very viable because they're going to pick up a lot of wins by playing a lot of bad teams.
I'm just disappointed by them because I'm just not impressed is maybe the thing.
Sure. No, and it's been a slow start for sure. I do want to talk about the AFC South. I did bring them up. When Andrew Luck went down, we asked many questions. One of the questions we asked was, who in the name of God is going to win this division? Well, Trevor, I have an answer for you. Nobody.
Gardner Minshew.
Because right now, the Texans are 2-2, and the Colts are 2-2, and the Jaguars are 2-2, and Trevor, the Titans are 2-2. Now, the Texans are 2-2 with 78 points scored and 78 points allowed.
Yeah.
The Jaguars are 2-2 with 84 points scored and 84 points allowed. This is amazing. Okay, we need to acknowledge this. The Colts are 94 points scored, the most of any team, 102 points allowed, the most of any team, and then the Titans have a huge differential, 91 points scored, 62 points allowed. So nearly 66% increase, or 50% increase, and Matt, they're still 2-2. They're still 2-2. They're still 2-2. How is this entire division 2-2?
I don't know, man.
Trevor, they're all gonna end up 8-8.
If you had to put $100 on who's gonna win this division, $100. Okay, I'm with you. All right.
Colts.
Well, I thought we were gonna disagree. No,
Jaguars,
I actually don't.
Titans. Colts, Texans, Jaguars, Titans.
I think I'd
definitely not the Titans.
No, for sure not the Titans. I'm not putting any money anywhere near the Tennessee Titans for anything. No, won't do it.
Never putting any money anywhere near the Titans ever, forever, for anything ever.
Nothing. No.
Yeah.
They will get none of my money ever. The Titans, we've said this before on this podcast, and we'll say it. I'll say it a million times. I don't care if you're not going to say it. The Titans have no idea who they are. No idea.
And somebody added us during the game and was like, Tampa Bay, Trey, and Ben Solak make the best point in that no one knows the Titans are.
Titans
beat the Falcons 24-10, and everybody's like, this game sucks.
It doesn't make any sense. Ultimately, I do think the Colts are going to come alive because at the beginning of this AFC South segment, you talked about, wow, Andrew Luck goes down, this is kind of wide open. A big question mark there was also with the Colts, and a lot of people were like, oh, wow, the Colts aren't going to be great. They're going to be picking high. They're going to be picking a quarterback again. I don't even think they're going to be picking that high. I think they're going to win the division. So in that sense, this is a surprise team for me. but maybe it shouldn't. You know, I wrote an article a week ago talking about the Colts and really what their mentality is like from the top down, with Jim Irsay, and then, and more importantly, Chris Ballard, the general manager, Frank Reich, the head coach, and then the kind of attitude that they have instilled and the guys that they have brought on the team just throughout that roster. They're fighters, man. That's what this team is. They're fighters. They're taking off after their head coach, Frank Reich, who is a comeback kid of a legend who at one point held the record for largest comeback victories in both college and NFL football, which is wild.
Good old Frank.
It's just who he is, man. And you know him because he was on Philly staff for a little bit, but they've taken the identity of their front office and their head coach in the best way. And I think the Colts are going to continue to claw and think they can win this division because they can win this division. And that in and of itself, getting a team, especially an NFL team, to really buy in after something like Andrew Luck, a franchise quarterback, just being ripped from underneath them, that hope just being ripped like a carpet straight underneath their feet. For them to bounce back this way, look the way that they have, really impressed by the Colts. I think that they're gonna go the distance. And even though I'm not so sure we're gonna get a double digit win team as the winner of this AFC South. I think they're gonna beat each other up a lot. I think 9-7. It's gonna be the Colts. They're gonna be sitting at the top when it's all said and done.
And it's gonna be thrilling.
I mean, I'd also be remiss if I didn't say that the biggest surprise, or one of the biggest surprises in the entire football season, is what Gardner Minshew is doing in Jacksonville. Right? I mean, this Minshew mania is crazy. It's just so fun to watch. I have no idea how long it's going to last. And history tells us probably not that long. But man, watching an air raid quarterback go to a team that was so invested in running the ball because of Blake Bortles and how they set up their offense, and just the straight contrast turnaround of what we're now seeing with Minshew kind of taking over that team. I know they're still trying to run their identity through being balanced in the ground attack too, but not saying right. They're just going full air raid. But
Did you see what Fournette? So Fournette obviously has not had a strong past couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And then he was a big part of the success today in the win against Denver. He had 225 yards rushing. And in his press conference, he was asked about Minshew and, like, you know, their dichotomy and, you know, getting the balance and Fournette getting good. And Fournette he was like, oh, yeah, I apologize to Minshew. I said, you're doing a great job. Like, I was going to, you know, try to carry more of the weight. But in doing so, he said the nickname. He said, like, his name is Jockstrap King.
Yeah. That's I know.
His name is Jockstrap King. Hello. Listen, there's another quarterback that was once identified by his, and that was Big Nick. And now they're both in Jacksonville. We have two very genitalia-oriented quarterbacks.
And Jags fans are the perfect people.
This is so Jacksonville.
This is super Jacksonville. And I'm sure that fan base is just embracing this as much as possible because they're wild. I love Jags fans. Every time I get to, I try to go to the tailgate because I have a lot of friends up there that show me a good time whenever I go to Jacksonville games. And they're honestly, Jags fans are just people that want to go crazy and invest in a team. And the team's been so bad for so long. So anytime they get this craziness, this mania about them, I just imagine what some of my friends and the rest of Duval is doing to go crazy. All right, so let's switch over. NFC, let's go NFC East. Let's just go a division that you know. Is there a big surprise from this division, or is it kind of playing out the way that you thought that it would?
I think Daniel Jones has been a lot better than people thought he was going to be.
Certainly. That's got to be something. Right?
Right. And now he looked a lot more human against Washington than he did against Tampa, which is likely just, you know, kind of the sheen of the first start wearing off a little bit. So he's probably going to level out somewhere in between, and that's okay. But Jones looks functional, which, I don't know, like, to me, that's not a huge surprise because pre-draft, I was like, listen, the best spot for Jones is Shurmur and the Giants. It just makes sense for what he does well. And they're going to keep him in what he does well. They're not going to ask him to do full field stuff. They're not going to ask him to throw a deep a ton. I think that one of the big things is the rapport that he's developed with Darius Slayton, the sixth round pick out of Auburn, wide receiver, speed demon, is really promising
Darius
to see.
Darius Slayton, man.
Yeah, I knew you liked Darius Slayton. And it's clear that Slayton and Jones have been playing together for camp. You know what I mean? Like, he went right to him when he went against Tampa, and same thing against Washington. The other big surprise that I would say from this division is obviously Dallas just dropped one against New Orleans, where, man, that New Orleans Saints defense rallied in a big way. I didn't expect that performance out of them. But Dak has been probably the most efficient quarterback thus far in the first four weeks of the season.
Very true.
And, you know, this is at the upper bound of what we expected for Kellen Moore. We thought the offense was going to get better.
Oh,
just by
how good has he been, man?
Yeah. And he's got some stuff to figure out now. You know, the Saints were pretty nicely keyed on what Dallas wanted to do. And now, you know, first time play caller after 4 weeks, got to learn how to throw a change up a little better. Got to, you know, he doesn't like to throw the ball in between the numbers, intermediate, deep too. You know, they're pretty scant there. Prescott's always been better outside the numbers. And so they've got to start incorporating some different things. I think, you know, you got to add some depth to the color now to disguise tendency a little bit and to be able to attack different areas of the field, keep defenses honest, if you will. But more, this is the upper bound of what we thought more was going to be. And we really thought, like, you know, it was going to be addition by subtraction when you simply move on to a new offensive coordinator for Dallas, because things were so rigid in the past few years. But Moore's clearly got the goods, right? And so he, like I said, he's got to level out. He's got to get comfortable. But yeah, this team has been quite dominant.
He just really understands how to get the most out of Dak. And I think he's making things really simple for him. I think he's understanding what works really well in that offense. They're incorporating a lot of really simple things. And not saying that Dak can't get complex every now and then, but they know what they do well, I think. The Cowboys have their bread and butter with that O-line and with Ezekiel Elliott. And then the connection and the go-to with Amari Cooper in the passing game. I think Kellen Moore has done a really nice job of mixing that all together exactly the way that it's supposed to. And we've seen the Cowboys come out. And granted, their schedule hasn't been great. It's been tough early on. They've played some pretty easy opponents. But still, you got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. And right now, the Cowboys are 3-1 in a really tough, hard-fought battle there against New Orleans. And so I think that the Cowboys and certainly Daniel Jones are two big storylines that are surprisers there.
I have two more NFC teams I'd like to hit on very quickly.
Let's do it.
Number one?
Yes.
San Francisco? I may or may not have said bad things about your team before the season.
Yeah, it could not have been me.
There's no way to confirm if this happened.
Yeah, it could not have been me.
But perhaps it did. Made a lot of fun of this defense's expense. I also predicted positive regression to the mean. Not that anybody cares about that. I made a lot of jokes at this defense's expense. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, only giving up 54 points. They've played a couple cupcakes on offense.
Atone for them, sir.
54 points has been an impressive thought. They've obviously generated significantly more pressure. That defensive line revamped looks really, really productive. Offense staying on schedule. You'd like to see an improvement in some of the production you're getting out of Jimmy Garoppolo, but there's time for that. We're 3-0. We're leading the NFC West.
Oh, boy. Now, you know.
Okay. Well, like, the collective we.
That they weren't going to make it. Now it's we. Folks, oh boy. Yeah.
Number two is, I mean, it was plain stupid, and I'm not going to pull punches. It was plain stupid to tie with the Cardinals. But man, I mean, the Detroit Lions have looked really, really nice, I think, in the first quarter of the season. Tough win over the Chargers, tough win over the Eagles, tough loss to the Chiefs. I mean, they've played every game within 4 points.
Dude.
2-1-1. They very few teams have the secondary the Lions do to be able to play man coverage. The Lions match man against pretty much everybody, and that's a huge deal. That helps you out a ton because elite quarterbacks are going to dice up zone, and they made life tougher for Patrick Mahomes than it typically has. It's because they played man coverage, and they said, you know, make these throws against man. We're going to play guys tight. We're going to play guys up at the line. That's what they're going to be able to do. And then the improvement on offense that's most exciting to me is the rushing attack. And then subsequently the deep passing play action attack from Matt Stafford. Stafford for so long under Jim Bob Cooter was quick facilitate, quick to the intermediate, quick to the short, get rid of the ball, and he just didn't maximize his talent. Stafford holding the ball longer, throwing the ball further down the field makes more sense for their receiving core. It's a more productive offense. So I like what Darrell Bevell's doing a lot. Do I trust the Lions yet? I'm not sure. I mean, Monday night in Lambeau.
Ooh, that'll be a fun one.
That's a big game for Detroit.
That's a trust fall game. That's a trust fall game.
It's the Packers on 11 days rest. Thursday night to Monday night. And the Lions just came off a disappointing, big-time, arduous loss to the Chiefs. Huge game for the Packers.
Wait, did you say that's a Monday night game?
Monday night.
So the Packers hosted a Thursday night game and then immediately after host a Monday night game?
Yes.
Does that not seem stupid to anybody else?
I have no comments at this time about favorable NFL television scheduling.
You absolute coward.
Listen, is there a surprising NFC South team that you would like to discuss?
I mean, I thought that the... I mean, I'm not going to talk about the Buccaneers because they're 2-2, and it's the strangest 2-2 I've ever experienced in my entire
life. Come on, you just beat the Rams. Take 30 seconds.
Dude, okay, so the Bucs beat the Rams. They scored the most points in franchise history.
It was awesome.
You're wrong. It was awesome. It was one of the most fun games I've ever got to cover. By the way, holy cow, man. Covering a game in the Coliseum, bucket list, man. That was such a cool feeling. Getting to walk around that stadium. I've never been there before, and I, like, felt nostalgic. I don't even know how that's possible, but I just felt the history within that entire building. I was saying that, like, if I was a five-star recruit on the West Coast and USC showed me that stadium, I'd commit to USC in, like, 2 seconds. It was so awesome. If you ever got a chance to go to the Coliseum for a big USC game or a Rams game for the rest of the time they're playing there, go to it. It's such a really cool stadium to go see. It's football history. But yeah, the Bucs. I don't even – sitting here 2-2. They've got losses at home, Ben, to the 49ers and Giants.
Wins
on the road at Carolina, at Los Angeles.
Sure.
The team is not a surprise because they don't make any sense. And, Ben, if there is anything that is not surprising about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it is that they do not make any sense.
Right now on the podcast, the Buccaneers have 12 games left.
Yes.
At Saints, home Panthers, at Titans, at Seahawks, home Cardinals, home Saints, at Falcons, at Jaguars, home Colts, at Lions, home Texans, home Falcons. If you accurately predict the Tampa Bay Buccaneers end of season schedule, regular season 16 games, publish chicken tender sub on me right now.
8-8.
This coward. You coward. I'm so pissed. it's disappointing. Devastating.
It's so tough because each time we have a week where I think it's going to be a barometer game, they go so far one way or the other. It's so hard to tell what you're going to get from this Buccaneers team, right? I mean, like, after the Thursday night football game, we were thinking, okay, this is the team to turn it around. Okay, the NFC South is down. Drew Brees isn't there for the Saints right now. Cam's not going to be there for the Panthers. Atlanta doesn't look so hot. So you go, okay, they're going to beat the Giants next week, go into the road trip.
Heck yeah.
Lose to the Giants. Okay, now what do you think of this team? Oh, great. It's a team that can't win big games. It's a team that can't finish. Team that can't take momentum. Now what do they do? Score 55 on the Rams. Okay.
So what happens next week? You have the Saints on a 2-game win streak with Teddy Bridgewater. Also an inexplicable team.
Don't make me say on this podcast that I think the Bucs are going to beat the Saints in New Orleans. Don't make me say that. Don't make me
Trevor,
say
Trevor, if you believe it, say it. Say it with your chest, man.
All right, I think they're going to beat the Saints in New Orleans.
Clip it!
Oh, my big surprise team out of the NFC South, though, how bad the Falcons are.
Big facts.
I really did think that the Falcons were at least going to bounce back to be a little bit more competitive. I understand that they've had a little bit of injuries here and there, and it's been kind of a weird start to the year. But my God, Matt Ryan does not look like the same guy. Dirk Koetter is not taking that offense back to where they were even when he was –
shocked that Dirk Koetter
coordinator there
did not solve the problem.
But I mean, like, they're sitting here at 1-3. I didn't really expect them to be 1-3, especially in the way that they've looked like they're 1-3.
The one win was the game they tried to give away to Philly.
Right. They could very well be 0-4 right now. So they're the biggest surprise to me, other than the ones that you kind of named out of the NFC. That's the big one to me is how much the Falcons are struggling. That would be the big one to me there.
It's true, because I continue to look at that roster and say, in a vacuum, this is good talent. And then I watch them play and it's not good.
I said before the season that I thought the Falcons had a top five roster in the NFL.
Yeah. So let's Right. So, like, let's, like, give a second for the offensive line to get healthy and get starters back. But eventually we got to start asking not only.
Too late.
Right. I'm talking about long term.
Oh.
Let's get the offensive line back. Let's look healthy.
Hold on now. Hold on, though. Because let's think about it. Let's rewind a couple of months. Dan Quinn fired his entire staff this offseason.
This is where I was going with this.
Okay. You don't get a free bad year after you fire everybody. So if we're talking about like long term, wait to see what the offensive line does, maybe they'll get healthy, whatever. If they win only five games, the Falcons, Dan Quinn's getting fired. They're all getting fired. Every single one of them.
And I'm screaming at Howie Roseman to hire him as defensive coordinator. That's not important.
When Todd Grantham leaves for the NFL, I'm trying to get Dan Quinn to come back to DC.
Florida, baby.
The Florida Gators.
Chomp, chomp. No, but that's my thing, right? Is like, let's get this offensive line back healthy and like, let's like, you know, have a strong back half of the season. Otherwise, we can't just ask, Dirk Cutter questions. We got to start asking Quinn, Daniel questions, which like Dan Quinn was a top, you know, NFL head coach, Falcons went to the Super Bowl sort of a thing. And it's just kind of snowballed since then. So yeah, it's a shame. So that's every division save for the AFC North. We have not talked AFC North, which has the 2-2 Browns who just beat the Ravens, making them 2-2.
I already clicked the off button on the AFC. You wanted to jump over to the NFC. Now you would, Jesus, not even in control of my own podcast anymore.
Exactly. There's chaos on the podcast. There's two whole conferences and we have gone back and forth. Steelers and Bengals, by the way, play tonight, Monday night, the podcast being released.
Wait, hold on real quick.
Yes.
Can you name what two teams in the NFL have scored the most points? Don't look.
Kansas City.
Big facts.
And Baltimore, yeah?
Also a big fact. Can you name the third team right behind him?
Okay. Dallas?
No.
Dang it, who?
The Bucks.
No, they're not, really?
I swear to God.
That's so awesome. Congratulations.
I'm not on the team.
Y'all just scored 55. I forgot about
55
that.
Points. All right, keep going. AFC North.
Browns 2-2, Ravens 2-2, Steelers and Bengals Monday night football, 0-3 versus 0-3, Mason Rudolph versus Andy Dalton. Somebody please drown me before this game starts. Surprising here, I guess the Browns not being that great. I don't know. Like the Browns have kind of steadied. The Browns obviously they've kind of steadied the ship.
Keep going. Sorry,
they played a tight one against the Rams, and then they beat the Ravens. The defense is playing quite well. Offense is, you know, kind of getting there. The Freddie Kitchens, first year head coach. It's okay to like, you know, need a little bit of time to steady the ship. Ravens expected to be quite good, have been quite good. Lost a tight one to the Chiefs, and then that Browns loss wasn't pretty. But I'm not super concerned about them. Steelers, like, it's no Ben, and then everybody knew the Bengals was going to be bad. So I feel like this division, you know, 2-2, 0-3, 0-3, but it kind of is as I expected it to be.
I think it's certainly a little bit different, but honestly, if you want my take here, AFC North, the biggest surprise.
No, Trevor,
surprise,
it's a podcast, but you shouldn't say anything. Yeah.
All right, well, thanks everybody for listening. Yeah, tomorrow we'll be back with college football. The biggest surprise to me in the AFC North is just how good the Ravens offense has been. Look, I've been a big Lamar fan. I thought that people who were the critics of him on one end were just so far overblown. But at the same time, I was trying to be pretty honest with what I thought that Lamar's limitations were coming from college to the NFL. And I knew that it was going to be a lot for him. Not that it was going to be impossible. Not that he couldn't do it. Not that I was even doubting him. I just knew that it was going to be a lot coming from a system where this guy could win so naturally in college football. Just by being a better athlete and even, you know, throwing the ball deep down the field, certainly. But we know coverage and corners aren't as great in college football, certainly when you make the jump to the NFL. And I knew it was going to be tough for him. He has been so fantastic. And it's been such a joy to watch him in this first quarter of the season. That's the reason why the Ravens are tied with the most points scored. It's revolving a lot around Lamar and how he has improved as a passer, how accurate he has become, how he's taken that next step to manage going around the pocket, not always taking off, the ball accuracy to lead some of these speedy wide receivers, getting the most out of those deep threat guys. I have been thrilled about Lamar Jackson, and so that is my big surprise in the best way. Not that I thought that he was going to be bad. I thought Lamar was always going to be good. But this step that he has taken here in his second year has even been better and more accelerated than I thought it was going to be. And it's so much fun to watch.
Please look at the tweet I just sent you. It's AFC North related.
Okay. All right. Lord, this is live podcasting, people. Live podcasting. Okay. Did you tag me in it?
No, I said I texted it to you.
Oh, you texted it to me. Why don't you just DM it to me?
Because we talk like 8 different channels, and I don't really know the procedures.
Put this photo in.
Do you see this? Look at. Okay. Nick Chubb had like a 90-yard touchdown
run. For the people.
Nick Chubb had like a 90-yard touchdown run. He hit like 22 miles per hour on the run. Incredible acceleration. He like ran in front of one of his blockers. He knew he had Pater and he was going. And so this is a photo taken from the sideline. I would say roughly at about the 10. You know, Chubb's at the 15. And it's Chubb, you know, in full stride. He's got his legs up and he's pumping his arms. He's staring at the end zone. And he's, you know, it's a portrait photo and he's on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, far back in the distance, more at the 30, 35 in the center of the field, is Baker Mayfield running down the field with
Nick
Chubb.
Hands extended.
Yeah. Like an airplane when you were a kid in the middle of a field, his head thrown back in bliss. And then in the far background is just a bunch of very still Ravens fans.
Oh, and it's just my goodness.
Like Nick Chubb, like all Mayfield did is hand the ball off. Nick Chubb has run 75 of the 85 yards he needs to run to score this touchdown. Nick Chubb's celebration level is a 1 out of 10. Again, all Baker did was put the ball in his tummy. Baker's celebration is a 10 out of 10.
That's so fantastic, man.
Gotta love them.
I want the Browns to be good. They're so fun when they're good.
They're getting there.
I know. We jumped the shark a little bit on the Browns, but they certainly got the talent too. They just got to control everybody on the team. You got to come together, you know, get some chemistry. A little bit over me or
hey,
no,
thank
else?
You, dude.
Something
I
else.
Appreciate
something
that.
Else? Ben, something you got to tell the people before we get out of here?
Yes, if you missed it at the beginning, there's new stuff and you want it. We have opened the TDN Draft store for pre-launch. What? I'm right.
Dude, you, no, 100% right. I just love that.
Listen.
So we're recording this podcast. I'm still in LA, so it's 10 p.m. my time, which makes it 1 p.m. Ben's time. And he is all hopped up on lack of sleep. And that's, you know, make it for a great podcast right now. So I chuckled a little.
This is not even, like, bedtime is not for another hour.
Oh, we're not even a real insomnia hours, brother.
No, not even close. No, but listen, the Draft Network store is open. It's very exciting. This is football's 33rd front office. This is the most in-depth coverage you're getting for NFL draft, college football, NFL, exactly. Whatever it is. And so the TDN store is launching. It is pre-launch right now for this week, which is for our most ardent listeners, for most common viewers and subscribers. And so new products are coming after the pre-launch. Right now, it's the exclusive Draft Day Everyday Dry Fit shirt. TDN20 is the promo code, $5 off the price. You go to the draftnetwork.store. Limited time offer, TDN20 expires on Sunday night. Add the promo code, get $5 off your official Draft Day Everyday Dry Fit t-shirt.
All right, that's it for the NFL this week. No, that's not true. All right, that's it for the NFL today. Is that better? That's better. We're talking college football tomorrow. You're what?
I said I bought it. I didn't buy the week, but for the day, yeah, I bought it.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Glad that you're buying it. Glad that you're putting on money on me, even though you won't put it on the Tennessee Titans because I'm a lot more.
You bet 8-8 for the Buccaneers. You watch your mouth.
What did you say?
I said you put 8-8 for the record for the Buccaneers. You don't get to talk about coward bets.
That's all for the NFL this week. We're talking college football tomorrow and Wednesday. We're going to go through the week that was college football tomorrow on Tuesday, and then we're going to take a look, as we always do, to the week ahead coming up on Wednesday. We'll go through next week's NFL games on Thursday, and then, of course, Fan Friday coming up on Friday as well. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.